Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, Ha'onen. The truth is that the next Mishnah on the beginning of tomorrow's daf will deal in more detail with regards to an Onen, but just as some background to the din of an Onen is an individual on the day of the death of one of the seven Krovim, one of the seven relatives that a person is Chayav Litabel Aleihem. So that person is called an Onen during the day, and only during the day, Min HaTorah. That's based on the Pasuk by Aaron after the death of Nadav V'Avihu, where Aaron says to Moshe, "V'deber Aaron and Moshe, hein hayom hikrivu et chatatam v'yatolatam lefnei Hashem, v'tikrin oti ka'ele, v'chalti chatat hayom, hayitav v'nei Hashem." So based on the fact that it says, hein hayom hikrivu, indicates that the problem with their doing the avoda and the mikdash, and their being engaged with the kodoshim, was hayom, that day, the day of the death of Nadav v'Avihu. Based on that, the Gemara believes that min d'oraita, min haTorah, person is classified as an onein, an individual who is patur min ha-mitzvot and has other restrictions involved with them, is in the time period of the day upon which the person that they are chayav litabel aleihem has passed away. After the burial of that individual, they are no longer an onein. And if they are not buried on that day, once you reach nightfall already, that's only a person is only classified as an onein mid-rabbanan. Therefore, what the Mishnah is saying over here is that an onein, an individual who is an onein on the day of Erev Pesach, so that would, in some senses, preclude him from doing the mitzvah of Korban HaPesach because he's an onein. So had he been an onein starting in the morning time, Eino Chanami, he'd be patur from Korban Pesach because he was an onein at the time that the chiyuv of Korban Pesach started on Chatzot on that day. Therefore, he'd be patur from bringing the Korban HaPesach. The situation here is that this individual became an onein later in the day. He was already chayav in Korban Pesach, and then he lost a relative that he is chayav litabel aleihem. Our assumption is that that relative will be buried before Yom Tov, and then this individual should be able to eat that night because he'll be past the point of aninut, and an onein is precluded from partaking in the kodoshim. At nighttime, he still is precluded midrabanan, but not midoraita. And here, because there's a chiyuv karet associated with Korban Pesach, the Chachamim waived the necessity for Aninut Laila in order for this individual to participate in the Korban HaPesach. So this individual, who's an Onein, before the individual has buried the mate, that's what it sounds like from Rashi, we worry about the fact that he will become Tamei possibly while he's involved in the burial. If he becomes Tamei, he's Tamei mate, and that'll preclude him from partaking in the Korban HaPesach that night. So if the mate is successfully buried, and this individual then can eat the Korban Pesach that night, then we could bring it on his behalf, and then he'd partake or participate in the Korban Pesach that night. Now then, if for some reason, while he's being metapel b'mate, he actually becomes tamei mate, then he would be precluded from eating at night. So there's this safek as to whether we can bring the Korban Pesach on his behalf. And so from Rashi, it seems like the onein is only an onein till the kvura. After the kvura, there's no longer a chashash that he's become tamei, therefore he's no longer deemed an onein midoraita. Other Mefarshei Mishnah think that the Onein is still an Onein even after the Kvura on that day. The Yom Mita, the day of the death of that relative, he's an Onein the entire day, Midoraita. And even though the mate has already been buried, the Chashash over here is based on what the Rambam suggests, that even after the person has been buried, the Onein might be so overwhelmed with grief that he may not eat the Korban HaPesach, and therefore we're worried that it'll be Pasul if he's on the Korban himself, because he won't eat the Korban on Pesach, not because he would become Tamei. Someone who is clearing away a pile of stones under which it seems to be that someone is buried. Rashi over here says, we don't know if we're going to find the individual who's buried under this pile of stones alive or dead. And so now again, there's a safek. If the person underneath is dead, then the person working on top to clear the pile is going to be tamei mate, and he won't be able to partake or participate in the Korban HaPesach. On the other hand, if he's alive, then this individual will be able to partake or participate in the Korban Pesach. But the time that he's clearing the pile and the time of Korban Pesach, there's uncertainty about his ability to participate. That's the way Rashi views it. We'll see later on in the Mishnah, because of a question of the Balei HaTosafot, there are other Rishonim who feel that the question with regards to the pile is not whether there's somebody in there that's alive or dead, but rather there's a question as to whether there's anybody that's underneath the pile, and they're clearing away the stones in order to see if there is a mate that's found under there, or maybe that there's nobody under there. And therefore, the Rambam in the Perashat Mishnayot actually explains the Mishnah as being a case where they're searching for whether there's a mate under this pile in order to bury them, whether there's nobody found under this pile, and the question is between whether he's tamei meit or there's no individual that's there, and that'll have ramifications. We'll see in a second at the tail end of the Mishnah. Or someone who's gotten a promise from the authorities to release him from the prison, and so therefore he would be available to partake in the Korban HaPesach that night, even though right now he can't partake or can't participate in the Korban HaPesach. Someone who is ill, vazakein, or someone who is elderly, at this point in time, they are healthy enough to partake or participate in the Korban Pesach that Shein Yecholim Lechol Kezayit. They can eat the requisite Kezayit as part of the Korban HaPesach. Therefore, Shochatin Aleihem. All these individuals, we allow them to be participants or to be a party to a Korban Pesach because there's a high likelihood that they will be able to partake or participate in the Korban Pesach that night. Al Kulam, Ein Shochatin Aleihem Bifnei Atzman. The other hand, all these individuals, we would not shech the Korban Pesach on them alone, because there is also a likelihood or there's a chance that they will not be able to partake in the Korban HaPesach, and we don't want to have a situation in which the Korban HaPesach is pasul. And therefore, in order to ensure that the Korban Pesach will not be pasul, we insist that these individuals participate in a Korban Pesach along with others where we have more certainty of their qualifications for being ra'ui to eat the Korban Pesach that night. Because Shema Yaviu at the Pesach l'day psul. Because if they don't successfully get through whatever it is suggested over here, they're not well enough that night to eat because they are sick, or they're not released from prison, or they become tamei meit, all of those reasons would then disqualify them from partaking in the Korban Pesach and break the Korban Pesach to a psul. Fikach im irebem psul. If something goes wrong with them, turim lasod Pesach Sheni, they don't have to do Pesach Sheni, because when they shechted the Korban Pesach, there was a reasonable assumption that they would be able to partake in the Korban Pesach, and they were kasherim to participate in the Korban Pesach. Therefore, they're patur from doing Pesach Sheni, but they just won't be able to partake or participate in the Korban Pesach that night, so they'll be patur from Pesach Sheni and not participate in this Pesach, but the remaining members of the Chabura will eat the Korban Pesach. Chutz, mena mefakeach et bagal. The only exception to that in this Mishnah is the person who's clearing away the pile, shu tamei mitchilato, because he is tamei from the outset. And that is based on the fact that when the person is clearing away the pile, he doesn't know what's underneath the pile. If the person that he finds under the pile has passed away, that means already much earlier on when he was clearing away the pile, the person was already niftar. If that's the case, he was tamei meit from way before he ever had the Korban Pesach shechted. For him, he was already tamei meit, so he was disqualified prior to the time that the Korban HaPesach was brought, or the Chiyuv HaKorban Pesach devolved upon him. For that reason, he's not patur mipesach sheni, because he didn't participate in the Korban Pesach in a situation in which he was kasher. He was already disqualified before the Korban HaPesach was brought. Now, Tosafot asked the question, is how do we know that's the case? Maybe while he's clearing away the pile, the individual that we find at the bottom of the pile was alive. And it's only later on, as he got closer to that individual succumbed to their wounds and passed away. The Tosafot says, we have a principle, whenever you find somebody that is a mate, that we assume that they were in that status until this point in time. That the status quo was the status all the way along, and therefore if we find them niftar, we assume they were niftar from the time that you started to clear away the pile. For that reason, you are tamei. Now that reasoning of the Balei Tosafot is really based on what Rashi was saying, which is that we're uncertain as to whether the person was alive or dead in the pile, and we're digging through the pile to see if we can find them alive. If we don't find them alive, then we assume they passed away, and Tosafot says, why do we assume that? Because the way we find them is what we assume was the case all the way along. According to the Rambam's explanation that we said earlier in the Mishnah, it would be slightly different. The Rambam says that the situation here is that they're looking to find if there's a mate under the pile or if there's nobody under the pile. So the only question is whether you are a tamei mate or you're not tamei mate, not because the person's alive or dead, because whether there is a corpse that's lying under this pile. So you find the corpse, then enochanami, we know that they passed away already and they were dead all along. So the Rambam, it's easy to explain why this individual is excluded or precluded from the list of individuals who don't have to bring a Pesach Sheni. So based on that, the Meiri, probably relying or leaning on this explanation of the Rambam in the Perashat Mishnayot, says that if the pile falls on someone who was alive and there was a safek as to whether the individual was alive or dead and then is found dead later on, the individual remains b'chezkat tara, offsetting what Tosafot says here, that the status quo of the corpse is the way it was all the way along. That means it was tamei meit. The individual was clearing the pile, had a chezkat tara. He was tahor until this point in time. And therefore, that chazaka stands, and if he finds the individual passed away at the bottom of the pile, then we don't assume that he was there all along. And that individual would also be patur mipesach sheni, according to the Meiri, based on the way that Rambam explains the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bechuna, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Loshanu ala beit asurim da'akum. It's only true if we're talking about a non-Jewish jail. Aval beit asurim d'Israel, on the other hand, if it is a Jewish jail, shochatim bifnei atzmo. Then you can even check for him alone, kaven da'abtechino, since they promised him that they would release him, mapikle. They definitely will release him, d'chtiv, because they quote the pasuk in Tzfanya, Paragimel, Sherit Israel lo yasu avla, velo yedabru kazav. The remainder, the remnant of Israel, will not be perverse or act in a perverse manner. Velo yedabru kazav, and they will not speak untruths. Velo matza b'fiem l'shon tarmit, and they will not be deceptive in their language. Kehema yiru v'rabtzu v'en macharid, because they will graze and they will multiply without any fear. So you see that there's a certain amount of trust that is put in the word of a Jew. And therefore, if the Jew says he's going to do something, he will carry through with that and release the individual. So first of all, Rashi speaks about why there's any incarceration in Jewish law or under Beit Din, because we don't find anywhere in the Torah that there's a necessity for incarceration. That's one of the punishments that Beit Din is allowed to exercise. So Rashi brings two different possibilities as to why it is that this person's found in a Jewish jail or under the auspices of Jewish law that they're found in jail. One is Kedona Kofo Lotzi Shap Sula L'Shalem Mamon. It's a case where the Beit Din is trying to encourage or coax this individual to do the right thing. For instance, he needs to get divorced from the woman he's married to because he's married to an improper woman. Or the individual is where he has the means to and is refusing to pay back a loan. So Beit Din incarcerates him in order to compel him to act properly or to do the right thing in this situation. So that's one form of incarceration. And it's a method that Beit Din can use to encourage an individual to do the right thing. The other possibility, where it might be from the Torah, is the situation in which an individual has hit another individual, and then the individual falls ill or is now bedridden, and we're not sure if they're going to pass away or not. So there, based on the Mamrei Chazal that are found in Parshat Mishpatim, it says, Melamed shechobshim oto ad shenireh Ma'atei alav. Pasuk says, if he gets up and he's able to walk around, Gemara says about that, how can it be that the victim is totally fine walking around the shuk, and then the perpetrator of this hit is going to be killed for that? Which teaches us that you incarcerate the individual to see what's going to be the outcome of this individual. We wait to see if the person survives, then we release the individual. If he doesn't survive, then this person will be put to death because he is a murderer. There are other instances where we have Beit Din using the methodology of incarceration. That's Kotzino Tobi Kippa, where they want to punish an individual extrajudicially, where they don't have edim, they don't have whatever due process they need in order to convict the individual, but they know that they're guilty. So they have the usage of incarceration as an alternate. But in that case, the person won't be released. So that's not one of the cases of incarceration. But here are some cases of incarceration where the individual could be released by the Beit Din. So the Gemara says it really depends on where they're incarcerated. If they are incarcerated by a Jewish court, a Jewish system of law, then if they promise him to release him, then we assume that he's going to be released because the Jews don't lie and they speak the truth. The Smag, the Sefer Mitzvah Gadol, quotes this pasuk from Tzfanya, in Mitzvah Taseh Ayin Dalid, the Mitzvah of Hashavat Aveda, he says, why it is that Jews in the Galut are obligated to return an Aveda to an Akum. And even though technically, according to the Din of the Gemara, you only have to return an Aveda to Achicha, to someone who is your brother, to a fellow Jew, nevertheless, he says that an individual is obligated to return an Aveda even to a non-Jew. And he quotes this pasuk from Tzfanya, because he says, when Mashiach comes and redeems the Jews, that all the non-Jews will look at those individuals and say, I understand why Hashem chose them, because they are Sherit Yisrael lo yasu avla, lo yedabru chazav, that they act in a proper manner, they are moral, upstanding individuals. But if people act in deceptive ways and people do not stand by their word, then the Mashiach will come and redeem Klal Yisrael, and the Goyim will look at him and say, what are you doing? You're picking up a bunch of bandits, people who don't speak the truth, for your nation is your chosen nation, doesn't make any sense. He says, so this pasuk in Tzfanya should be the guiding principle by which Jews live, whether it's between Jew and Jew, whether Jew and non-Jew, This is a guiding principle that we should act in a moral and upstanding manner. Just interesting that he quotes this pasuk in Tzfania here that the Gemara uses to say that Jews stand by their word. Amar Rav Chista, Hada Mart Beit Asurim Dakum. That which we said that by the non-Jewish prison, we do not rely on it to shecht the Korban Pesach on the individual by themselves. They can be a part of a group, but they can't do it themselves because we're afraid they won't carry through with it. Amar Alechutz Tuchomat Beit Pagi. As long as the prison is found outside the confines of Yerushalayim. Val Difnimi Chomat Beit Pagi. If it's within the area that's considered to be Yerushalayim min haTorah, shochatim alav bifnei atzmo, then you can shecht on him by himself, because even if they don't release him from the prison, my taima, efshar de'amtulei v'achelei, they can bring him the Korban Pesach in prison, and he'll eat it in prison, and it'll be inside the walls of Yerushalayim, and it'll be fine. So based on that, even in a non-Jewish prison, even if they promise him that they're going to release him, we're not worried if they don't release him, because if they don't release him, he could still eat the Korban Pesach in prison. Given that, we would shecht the Korban Pesach on him alone, not just together in a chabura. Bali Tosafot quote the Yerushalmi over here, which has a different take on this Mishnah, and they come to the exact opposite conclusion. And they say, Yerushalmi Mokila Rabbi Yossi Barbon b'shem Rabbi Yochanan kishichabshua Israel. It's only when Jews have incarcerated him, there he can join a chabura, but he can't be alone. Aval chabshua akum. If non-Jews incarcerate him, even if they promise to release him, ain't shochatim alav afilu menacherim. Can't shecht on him, even as part of a bigger chabura, because of the pasuk that says, asher piem diber shav, because they speak untruths. They do not necessarily stand by their word, they don't uphold that which they're gonna do. And as Tosafot points out, hainu ipcha mishmaitin, it's the exact opposite of our Gemara. Now Tosafot doesn't say this, but it's a possibility that their views were colored by the non-Jews that they interacted with. The Gemara Yerushalmi is dealing with the Roman government and with the Roman incarcerations. And over there, they tended to find that the Roman government would say things, would lie, would not tell the truth, would say they're releasing them, not release them. It was much more arbitrary. They weren't necessarily reliable when it came to these matters. And therefore, they applied to them the pasuk of Asher Piem Diber Shav. Therefore, if we're dealing with the authorities, we don't trust them whatsoever. If it's a Jewish authority, then over there, we will rely on them sufficiently to put him in a chabura, but not to shecht on him alone. Whereas in Bavel, the Gemara Bavli says, if the non-Jewish authorities say they're going to release him, generally that's what they did. They were generally reliable when it came to these issues. And therefore, if we were dealing with the situation in Eretz Yisrael, with the equivalent of the Babylonian authorities, we would assume that if they say they're going to release him, that he will release him. So we'll allow him to join a chabura. We won't allow him to be alone, because sometimes they won't carry through. But if it's a Jewish authority, for sure they're going to carry through on it. And so it might be that the difference in the Gemara is colored by the different non-Jewish authorities that they were interacting with. It's not muhrach, but maybe that's an interesting way to look at this difference between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. It's interesting that both the Bavli and Yerushalmi are quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So obviously there's a stira, obviously there is a contradiction here, and that the Yerushalmi and Bavli are taking different positions with regards to this. Okay, now the Gemara then quotes the tail end of the Mishnah that if something goes wrong with one of these individuals, they don't have to bring a Pesach Sheni, chutz mei mefakeh hagal. Now, with regards to this mefakeh hagal, we have some qualifications, which is Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu el gal agul. It's only true if the pile is a circular pile. V'gal aruch, if it's a elongated pile, patur melasur Pesach Sheni, then he's patur from doing Pesach Sheni. Eima tohora ya b'shat shchita. Maybe he was still tohor at the time of shchita. The understanding is that if you have a round pile, the individual is working on top of the pile, and therefore, when they reach the mate at the bottom of the pile, he for sure was mahil. He was for sure made an ohel over the mate while he was clearing the pile, and therefore he was tamei from the outset, and that means he was tamei before they ever shechted the Korban HaPesach, and that's why he's disqualified. Therefore, he has to bring a Pesach Sheni. On the other hand, if he's dealing with a much longer or larger pile of stones, then it's not certain that he was over the mate before the time that the Korban Pesach was shechted. If he's moving back and forth or around this pile and eventually gets to the mate, there's a possibility he wasn't mile on the mate until after the Shechitat Pesach. And for that reason, he's not going to have to bring a Pesach Sheni because it's very possible that he was already Yotze with Pesach Rishon. Now, he might not have been, but we can't do anything. So Mimon Avshach, he's stuck. As Rashi says, came into Safek Yatza, Safek Lo Yatza, because since it's a fake whether he did or successfully or not successfully accomplish Pesach Rishon, Patur, Mishum Delefshar. He's Patur from Pesach Sheni because we can't do anything. We have no choice in that matter. But that's dealing with a situation which is not certain that he was mile on the mate. Tainan Amiochi, we have a brighter that supports this qualification. Rabbi Shimon Ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Roko, Amir Mefakeach Bagal, somebody who's clearing away a pile, Itim Patur, Itim Chayav. Sometimes he'll be Patur from Pesach Sheni, sometimes he'll be Chayav in Pesach Sheni. Ketzad, What's the situation? Galagul, if it is a circular pile, and they find a mate under it, sounds more like the Rambam here, which is that they were looking to see if there was something here, and then they do find a tumata mate underneath it, then chayav, then he has to bring a Pesach Sheni, because he was tamei l'mafreya, because he definitely was mayel on the mate. Gal aroch, if it's an elongated pile, nimtzei tuma tachtav, and then you find tuma under it when you clear it away, patur, then he doesn't bring Pesach Sheni. There's a possibility that he was still tor, there wasn't mayel on the mate before the shechita was done. If the shechita was done while he was still tor, he's yotzei Pesach Rishon. Now we don't know, as Rashi pointed out, when we don't know, he can't bring the Pesach Sheni because we're uncertain as to whether he's chayav in Pesach Sheni. Okay, and the next Mishnah says, Ein shochetim et Pesach ala yachid divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda believes, and the Gemara explained why, a korban Pesach cannot be made up of a chabura of a single individual. There has to be at least more than one individual attached to a Korban Pesach. A single individual can't bring a Korban Pesach. Rabbi Yossi Matir. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and we'll see again why in the Gemara. Then he feels that you can't have a single individual bring a Korban Pesach. Vafilu chabura shel mea. Even if you have a group of 100 individuals, she'enon yecholim lechol kezayit, that they're unable to eat a kezayit worth of the Korban Pesach, ain't shochatin aleim. We don't shecht on them. Rashi says that Rabbi Yossi is saying this, and he's saying that the numbers don't matter, which is just like it doesn't matter if one individual comes and brings the Korban Pesach, so too it doesn't matter if 100 people bring the Korban Pesach. It has nothing to do with the numbers of individuals. It has to do with their capacity to eat the Korban Pesach. And you have a single individual who wants to make a Korban Pesach, that's fine, as long as he eats his kezayit worth of the Korban Pesach. On the other hand, if you have 100 individuals, ve'enom yacholim lechol kezayit ben kulam, and through all of them, they're not able to aggregate to a kezayit. Ein shochatim aleihem. You can't shecht on them. It's not clear from Rashi whether ein yochalim lechol kezayit ben kulam means that no single individual can eat a kezayit, or does that mean between all 100 of them, they can't eat a kezayit? Either way, all 100 individuals, according to Rashi, are disqualified because they will not eat a kezayit worth of the Korban Pesach, and they're all psulim. Now, the Rambam explains this in the Mishnah Torah slightly differently, and that's because there's a little bit of a problem with the way Rashi's explained. The way Rashi's explaining it is that, say, you had 100 individuals who can't eat a kezayit worth of Korban Pesach, then we don't bring it. But that implies if you have 50 individuals who can eat a kezayit and 50 who can't, you would bring the Korban Pesach. And the truth is, we saw that earlier in the Mishnayot, which is that if you have she'le'ochlav, she'lo'ochlav, from individuals who can't eat it, some individuals who cannot eat it, your Pesach is kosher if you shechted it for those individuals. But the problem with that is that's only bidyavad. Meaning that bidyavad, if it was lo'ochlim and shlo'ochlim, the Pesach is kosher. But the chetchila, we wouldn't tell you to shecht the Korban Pesach when some of the individuals can eat a full kezayit and others cannot. Yet Rashi over here seems to imply that that would be the case. The only disqualification here is that nobody can eat a kezayit. Had one individual been able to eat a kezayit, it would have been enough in this situation. Therefore, the Rambam explains it that when we have 100 here that can't eat a kezayit, means that even if one of those individuals can't eat a kezayit, then it would be a disqualifying factor, because again, that'd be like what we saw earlier. It's only bidyavad it works, but the chatchila, if any one of the individuals cannot eat a kezayit worth of the Pesach, we're not going to shecht the Pesach on that individual, and therefore he explains it differently than Rashi in order to avoid that problem. Whereas according to Rashi, you would have to explain that he's saying that the Mishnah is talking about a bidyavad disqualification of the Korban Pesach, and that's why, since none of the individuals can eat a kezayit, it's even pasul or problematic bidyavad. And the truth is that Rabbi Yehuda would not disagree with this point, meaning that even though this seems to be brought by Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda would also agree with this point that if there are 100 individuals who can't eat a kezayit, then it's also a disqualifying factor according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'enosim chabura nashim v'avadim uktanim. You can't make a chabura. Here it seems to be that you can't make a chabura of women, slaves, meaning Eved Kenani, and Ketanim alone. Each one of those three different parties alone, it can't be a chabura that's made up of just women, just Avadim, or just Ketanim. We'll see in the Gemara that they'll amend that understanding. Tanrabanan, minayin shein shochatim et Pesach al yachid. How do we know that you can't shecht the Pesach on a individual? This is the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Because it says in the pasuk in Parshat Re'eh, Lo tuchal lizboach et ha-pasach b'chad sharecha, asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach. You're not allowed to bring the Korban Pesach in one of these areas where you live. And that is as opposed to, in the next pasuk, which says, Kim el ha-makom, asher b'chad Hashem Elokecha l'shokein shmo, sham tizboach et ha-pasach. You'd rather have to bring it to the place where Hashem is resident, meaning the central location where Hashem is, which is the Beit HaMikdash. Sham tizbach at the Pesach be'erev kvar shemesh moitzeitcha mimitzrayim. So in the Mishkan or the Mishgash, that's the place that you bring the Korban Pesach, not be'achad sharecha. So here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word be'achad is extraneous in the Pasuk, because it said, v'otuchal izbach at the Pesach b'sharecha, b'chol sharecha, shemokecha noten lach. Why does it have the word be'achad? So that is an extraneous word, and from that he darshins the following. Lo tuchal izbach the Pesach be'achad. Reparse the Pasuk, not to say be'achad sharecha, but rather lo tuchal izbach the Pesach be'achad. When you're an individual, tivi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi omer, yachid v'yachol le'ochlo. You're an individual, and you can eat the korban of Pesach. Shochatim alav. You're allowed to shech for that individual. Now the way Rashi explains it is that yachol le'ochlo means that he's able to eat a kazayit worth. That's enough to qualify you as an individual that you can shech the korban Pesach on them. Because the Rambam seems to indicate that v'yachol le'ochlo is not that he can eat a kazayit, but rather chol le'ochlo means he can eat the entire korban Pesach shelo yaveh lidei pasul, so that he won't make the korban Pesach pasul. We don't want him just to eat a kazayit worth. We need him to eat the whole korban Pesach. Otherwise, you're shechting a Pesach knowing that there's going to be no tar from this korban of Pesach. So therefore, when we speak about a yachid, we mean chol le'ochlo doesn't just mean he can eat a kazayit worth. It means he can eat the entire korban of Pesach. Then the shochatim alav we would shech for him. Asara, if you have 10 individuals, this is slightly different than our Mishnah that said 100 individuals, but the same is true here. Asara, ven yochlim le'ochlo, you have 10 people and they can't eat it, then ain shochatin aleihem, we don't shecht it. According to Rashi, that would mean if they can't eat the kazayit worth, Rashi and the Mishnah said that either together they can't eat a kazayit, or every one of them can't eat a kazayit, we wouldn't shecht it. According to the Rambam, even if any individual couldn't eat a kazayit, or maybe all 10 of them can't finish the korban of Pesach, either way, we would not shecht the korban for them. And Tosafot points out over here that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree with this. As we mentioned in the Mishnah already, that Rabbi Yehuda would agree with this point because he only precludes an individual, but he agrees that the people who are partaking or participating in the Korban Pesach have to be qualified, and that means they need to be able to eat a kazayit worth each. And for this din, even though it's quoted under Rabbi Yossi's name, is also agreed to by Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, hai be'achad, my avidai. What does he do with the word be'achad? Meaning that Rabbi Yehuda has the drasha. How does Rabbi Yossi deal with it? So Gemara says, "Mi baileik of the Rabbi Shimon." He needs it for the drush of Rabbi Shimon. Over here, it might be that the way Rabbi Yossi is dashing the pasuk, that it's not just that the word be'achad is extraneous, but be'achad she'arecha is extraneous. And that's because of the next pasuk. It says, "Lo tuchal izvach the pasach be'achad she'arecha she'er Hashem lokech noten lach." Then it continues the next pasuk, "Ki yem el makom ashev chay Hashem lokecha shekein Shimo sham tizvach the pesach ba'erev kevo Hashem shmoitzeitcha me'mitzrayim." So here you may not need the word be'achad she'arecha because it said lo tuchal izvach at the Pesach asher Hashem lokech noten lach ki'im el makom. The only place you can do it is in that central location. By definition, that would mean that b'sharecha it wouldn't be qualified. So according to him, maybe it's not just the word be'achad is extraneous, but even be'achad she'arecha is extraneous, and therefore he holds like Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer minayin lozovech et pischo be'bamat yachid b'shat isra b'mot. We have a braita that Rabbi Shimon says, how do I know that someone who brings a korban pesach on an individual mizbeach that's in your backyard, and time period when there's a restriction against individual mizbechot in your backyard, that you're still in violation of a lotaseh, Talmud Omar, the pasuk that we just quoted, lo tuchal lizbach ta pasach, be'achad she'arecha. So over here you see, he quotes not just be'achad, but be'achad she'arecha. Yochol ha'fashat heter abamot kein. You would think possibly, even when there's a heter abamot, you'd be in the same predicament. Tamal omar be'achad she'arecha. Lo amru ela b'shah shekol Yisrael nechtasim b'shar echad. It's only true when everybody goes to a single location to bring their korban, in that situation, or that circumstance, that's when there is a lotaseh. So now, just to give some background to this, there are different periods of time in Jewish history where bamot, where individual mizbechot were allowed. While the Jews were in Midbar, they have a central place of worship called the Mishkan. While the Mishkan is around in the Midbar, you can't go anywhere else to bring korbanot any other way except on the Mizbeach in the Mishkan. When they enter into Eretz Yisrael for the first 14 years, the 7 years of Kibush and 7 years of Chiluk, during that period of time, bamot are mutarot because the Mishkan is moving around. Once the Mishkan is put in a permanent place in Shiloh, then begins a time period of Yisra Bamot, which doesn't hold so well because we see many instances or circumstances in which korbanot are brought outside of the Mishkan. But the policy or the halacha should be that during that period, while there's a central location in Shiloh, then no bamot, no personal korbanot should be brought on Mizbechot in your backyard, and that's a time of Yisra Bamot. Then after the destruction of Shiloh in the time of Eli, the Heter Bamot returns, and then you can bring personal korbanot on your backyard Mizbeach for the period of time until the Beit HaMikdash is built. Once the Beit HaMikdash is built by Shlomo HaMelech, from there forward, there is an Isra Bamot, and you can't have personal korbanot brought on these personal Mizbechot. Now, when there is a central location where you have to bring your korbanot, then there's something called Shchutei Chutz and Akravat Chutz, which is that if you bring a korban, instead of bringing it to the central location where you're supposed to bring it, you bring it outside of that location, outside of where you're supposed to bring it, then you're chayav karet for bringing a korban in the wrong location. That's in the Parshat Achrimot in Sefer Vayikra, where you're supposed to bring a korban to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, and instead you makriv it outside of those locations, then you're going to be chayav karet. Now, over here, we're dealing with a situation like that, which is that a person is bringing a korban Pesach, which is deemed a korban tzibur, and has to be brought on the central location, in the Mishkan or the Mikdash, and the individual does it outside, on a Bamat Yachid, outside of the Mikdash or outside of the Mishkan. So technically they should be Chayav Karet. So what do you need a Lotaseh for? So as Rashi explains over here, he explains this according to the Havamin of the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara later on changes its mind about it, but Rashi explains the Gemara here based on that Havamina, which is that the Korban HaPesach here is being brought prior to Chatzot on Yud Daled. In Ochanami, had it been after Chatzot and Yudalit, the time when you would have had to brought the Korban HaPesach in the central location, and you brought it outside, that'd be Shchutei Chutz, Akravat Chutz, and you'd be Chayav Karet. Instead, the individual, before Chatzot on the Yudalit, brings this Korban in a Bamat Yachid. So technically, it's not covered by the restriction of Shchutei Chutz. That's because it wasn't Ra'oi to be put on the Mizbeach in the Mikdash or in the Mishkan, because it was prior to the Zman. It's called Mechusar Zman. It's outside of the time period where you normally bring that korban. Since it's outside of that period of time, you're not liable or culpable for a chiyuv karet for shkutei chutz. What Rabbi Shimon adds here is that's not completely true. You are patur from the karet, but you're chayav for a lav. That lav is the lav that we're quoting over here, which is lo tuchal lizbach at the Pesach v'chad she'arecha. There is a lav. There is a prohibition against doing such a thing. It's an isur lav. You would get makot for it, but it wouldn't be a chiyuv karet. If you do it mechusar zman, if you do it before the time period where you would be obligated to bring it to the central location, then you're over a lav and not a chiyuv karet. And that's the lo tuchal zbach at the pasach b'chad sherecha on a bamat yachid. And then from there we extrapolate to all other korbanot that you would be chayav for a lav. Now you would think that that's not only true when the Mishkan and Mikdash are extant, but even in times where there is no central place of worship, that is like times of Nov and Givon, between the time of the destruction of Shiloh and the Mikdash, or during the period of time after they came out of the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, until the time of the setup of Mishkan Shiloh. Maybe then too, if you brought a Korban Pesach in that situation, you'd also be Chayav for a Lav. And that is because a Korban Pesach needs to be brought on what's called a Bamat HaTzibur. If you allow it, it would have to be brought on a Bamat HaTzibur. That is because on a Bamat Yachid, on a Mizbeach in your backyard, you only have to bring korbanot, nidava, and neder. And those are basically olot and shlamim. Any other korban needs to be brought on a central mizbech. And during those times, they had central mizbechot. We know that in Nov and Givon, between the time of the destruction of Shiloh and the building of Mikdash, the mizbech was at Nov until Shaul HaMelech destroys Ir Nov HaKohanim, and then it moves to Givon. And that is the location where they brought these korbanot that were associated with the needs of the tzibur, or things that were korbanot at tzibur, including the korban HaPesach. So there is still a requirement to bring it at the central location. What happens if you fail to do so and you bring it on a Bamat Yachid? Are you also going to be punished? And that's the second half of the drush over here, which is that the only time that this law applies is when everybody goes to a single location, meaning that there's a central place of worship. Even though a Bamat Zibur is a central place, it's not a central place of worship. It is a place where they brought the Korbanot, but it's not a Mikdash, it's not a Mishkan. When you have everybody going in b'shar achad, meaning that there's a Mikdash or a Mishkan, then you have this lav in effect. But if it's not during that period of time, meaning during a time of Heter HaBamot, even though you're not allowed to bring a Korban Pesach on your Bamat Yachid, if you do, it will not be in violation of Karet, because there's no location to bring it besides the Bamat Yachid. And if you fail to bring it on the Bamat HaTzibur and bring it on the Bamat Yachid, you're also not in violation of this lav, because this lav only covers times or periods when you would otherwise bring it to the Mikdash or to the Mishkan. So that's what Rabbi Yossi uses, the Bechad Sharecha, to teach him. So therefore he doesn't have it available to teach him that which Rabbi Yehuda learned from it, which is that an individual can't bring a Korban Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda, Hayam Minale. Where does Rabbi Yehuda learn this from? How does he know this din of Rabbi Shimon? So Tarte Shvamina, he's able to learn both of them. Whether that's because the Be'achad and Sharecha are extraneous, whether because one of them is a reparsing of the Pasach and one is the extraneous words. One of them is Lo Tuchal is Vach the Pasach Be'achad, and that's one drasha, and then Be'achad Sharecha is the extraneous words teaching the din of Rabbi Shimon. So he learns both of them. Rabbi Yossi, Maidla Hochik the Kama Rabbi Shimon, Dilma Kedama Rabbi Yehuda Hu Da'ato. So the Gemara asks a very strange question and says, how does Rabbi Yossi know that the drasha of Be'achad Sharecha is coming to teach him what Rabbi Shimon says in the Braita in Zvachim, rather than what Rabbi Yehuda learns over here in our Mishnah? So Rashi says that it's not really a good question, because you could just say, I hold like Rabbi Shimon, I think that's the right Mesorah, I think that's the right Limud, and I don't think Rabbi Yehuda's Limud is correct. He doesn't have to substantiate why it's wrong or right, because he has another Tana that has a differentiated drasha, and that's what he holds. So Rashi says the reason that the Gemara asks this is because Rabbi Yehuda's drasha makes more sense. It makes more sense to learn Rabbi Yehuda's drasha from here. That's a more palatable explanation or plausible explanation of the pasuk, as we'll see in Rashi on the second half of today's daf. And therefore the Gemara wants to know, why is it that Rabbi Yossi picked Rabbi Shimon over Rabbi Yehuda? And now we're going to get to the core of Rabbi Yossi's position, which is, Amalecha, I don't think that Rabbi Yehuda is right, the Haktiv, because the pasuk says in Parshat Bo, im imata bait miot misela kach hush cheno akorov el beito b'mechsat nefashot ish lefi achlo tochosu alaseh. So you see the word ish, which seems to be an individual, lefi achlo, according to the way he can eat, he can be a party to a korban pesach. So Rami le Ravukva barchinina mi parishna. The Ravukva barchinina from this location parishna asked Rava, mi amar Rabbi Yehuda? Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold in shochatim the pesach al yachid? Does he really believe that you can't shecht the korban pesach on a single individual? V'riminu, we have a braita that seems to indicate otherwise. Isha pirishon, a woman on pesach rishon shochatin aleha bifnei atzma. You can shecht the korban pesach on her alone. Ubisheni on pesach sheni osim otat tefila lacherim. She has to be part of a chabura. She can't bring the korban pesach in pesach sheni alone. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll get to in a second, on the second half of today's daf, what exactly the dynamics are with regards to the woman's obligation with a Korban HaPesach. Amalei, so he said back to him, Lo tema bifnei atzma, don't say that she can't bring the Korban HaPesach alone, which makes it sound like, forget about a man bring it alone, or even a woman can bring it alone. So why is it that Rabbi Yehuda is saying over here, you can't bring it alone, and then yet he's saying a woman can bring it alone? He says, don't read it as that she can bring it alone, Eleima bifnei atzma. You can't have a Chaburav Nashim. Can have women alone bring a Korban HaPesach. In Pesach Rishon, even a Chabura of just women can bring a Korban HaPesach. In Pesach Sheni, you can't have a Chabura of just women. They have to be a part of a Chabura that includes men. So Malay, first thing you can say back to him, Mi Abdin Chabura Shekulai Nashim. According to your explanation, you're suggesting now in Pesach Rishon, you can have a Chabura that's made up of just women. That's not the end of our Mishnah. Enosim Chaburat Nashim Vavadim Uktanim. My love. What's the explanation of that piece of the Mishnah? Nashim l'chudayu, can't have a chabura of just women. Vavadim l'chudayu, you can't have a chabura of just eved k'nani. And k'tanim l'chudayu, you can't just have a chabura of tanim. As Tosafot points out, it's a little bit of a strange question, because he was okay with a single woman bringing the Korban Pesach, but he's not okay with multiple women bringing the Korban Pesach, which seems to be counterintuitive. How could a single woman bring it and be okay with that, and then have multiple women bring it and not be okay with that? Tosafot says that his understanding was that the Mishnah doesn't allow a chaburav nashim, because when you have a lot of women together, they rely on each other, and they're not going to be so careful about the Korban of Pesach, and something's going to go wrong. It's going to be badly day psul, it won't be finished, there'll be problems. If it's a single woman that's involved, she'll make sure that it gets taken care of. And therefore, even counterintuitively, it will work out that a single woman could bring it, but multiple women couldn't bring it. In the line of questioning that Rav Ukva Bar Chinina min Parishna asks of Rava, Samalelo, that's not the right explanation of the Mishnah. Nashim Vavadim Uktanim, it is a combined Chabura problem, which is Nashim Vavadim. We don't allow you to have women and Avadim Ktanim together in a single Chabura Mishum Tiflut, because there are problems of Aveira, of Znut, that might come up from that type of intermingling. Ktanim Vavadim, and we also don't want a mixed Chabura between minors and the Eved Knani, Mishum Pritzuta, because of the problems of Pritzuta, as Rashi says over here, Mishkav Zachor. worried about homosexuality or inappropriate behavior by the Eved Kananim towards these Kananim, and therefore we don't want these types of mixed chaburot. But if it's just the chabura of women, it would be fine, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's now consistent in his position. You can't have an individual bring a korban on Pesach Rishon, but you can have multiple individuals bring it. Even women, as a chabura, can bring it on Pesach Rishon. So okay, now the Gemara goes back to this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda with regards to women and discusses a three-way machloket in Tanaim with regards to women and Korban Pesach with regards to Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. We've seen this numerous times actually throughout the Masech that was already quoted, and the assumption was that the Gemara knew or pointed to this Gemara over here where they finally discuss it, but Gemara has brought up this matter a number of times prior, where it said that we're speaking about a case of a woman in Pesach Sheni, a woman in Pesach Rishon. That was what we were dealing with, whether Rov Am Yisrael were Tamei B'tumat Tameit, how the women played into it. So the Gemara already knew this sugi over here, and this is the sugi that they were referencing to. Kufa, Isha B'Rishon, Shochatin Alea B'Fnei Atzma. A woman in Pesach Rishon, you can shaft on her alone. Again, we amended that to say B'Fnei Atzman, according to Rabbi Yehuda. U'B'Sheni Yoseh Ota Tefillah L'Acherim. In the Pesach Sheni, she has to be a part of a chabura of men, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Isha B'Sheni, Shochatin Alea B'Fnei Atzma. A woman even in Pesach Sheni, you can shecht on her alone. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be B'Fnei Atzman, means a chabura of Nashim. Ein Tzarech Mamar B'Rishon. Certainly in the Pesach Rishon, they could be alone, meaning that you don't need them to be attached to any chabura or to a Nashim as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Isha B'Rishon, Oseh Ota Tefillah L'Acherim. Bishimon says that even in Pesach Rishon, the women cannot be alone in a Korban Pesach. They need to be a part of a Korban Pesach of men. Bishini, ain't shokotim alel kol ikar. And Pesach Sheni, they don't participate. They are precluded from Pesach Sheni completely. B'amai kamif legay. What is the machloket between them? Rabbi Yehuda savar. Rabbi Yehuda believes, and this is the pasuk that we quoted again before from Bo, which is that v'imimata bayit miot misela kachush chenel akaro vel beito b'michsat nefashot ish lefi achlota chosu alaseh. So michsat nefashot means according to the number of individuals, but he uses a generic term called nefashot. It doesn't say ish or isha. It says nefashot. It means any individual, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda believes afilu nashim, that in Pesach Rishon even women are chayavot in Pesach Rishon and even alone, not part of a chabura of anashim. V'chitema imhachi afilu b'sheni nami. That's the case. If they're chayavot in Pesach Rishon, why aren't they also chayavot in the same manner in Pesach Sheni? Because Ketiv, there it says in Parshat Balotcha, which is the parshia that deals with Pesach Sheni, says Ba'ish Asherhu Tohor, the individual was Tohor, Ubederach Lo Aya, and he wasn't far away, he wasn't traveling, Chadala Sota Pesach, and he did not participate in the Korban of Pesach. Now that Pesach that we're speaking about there is Pesach Rishon. V'nichrata Nefeshei Me'ameah, that individual will be chayav karet, ki korban Hashem lo ikriv, he didn't bring the korban Hashem, b'mo'ado, at the proper time, cheto isa ishahu, that person is then responsible or culpable for not participating in the korban of Pesach. So in its simplest form, the pasuk speaking about Pesach Rishon, an individual who forewent bringing Pesach Rishon, then he is chayav karet because he didn't bring Pesach Rishon and he didn't have an excuse. He wasn't tamei, he wasn't far away, and therefore he'll be chayav karet for not bringing the korban of Pesach. But the way, as Rashi points out, that the Gemara reads the pasuk is va'yish asher utor b'derech lo yav v'chadal asot haPesach Rishon v'nichrata nefeshei me'ameah. That person will be chayav karet ki. So the word ki can be explained in different ways, and we're going to see later on in the Masechta that there's a machloket as to what the ki means over here. And the way we're reading it over here, the way the Rabbi Yehuda is reading over here, is ki is a shown because ki. Korban Hashem lo yikriv, or e, if he doesn't bring the Korban Hashem, meaning the Pesach Sheni, b'mo'ado, at the proper time, cheto isa yishu, that individual will be chayav. The way to read the pasuk now is, if he failed to bring Pesach Rishon, and he didn't have an excuse, and then he doesn't bring Pesach Sheni, then he'll be chayav karet. And so the second half of the pasuk is speaking about Pesach Sheni. In that second half of the pasuk, it says, ki korban Hashem lo yikriv, b'mo'ado, cheto isa yishu. It mentions not nefashot, but rather ish. So you see, with regards to Pesach Sheni, there's an association with the word ish. Ish in ishalo. That means that only a man is chayav in Pesach Sheni, not a woman. If that's the case, then why can the woman participate in Pesach Sheni as a participant or a part of a chabura of men, meaning that you just precluded her from Pesach Sheni legamrei? Because ahani, there it says, with regards to Pesach Sheni, when you bring it, that it should have k'chol chukat haPesach, that you do it like all the rules of the Pesach Rishon. So the rules of the Pesach Rishon are that a woman participates. So because the pasuk before says lo yeshu mimenu ad boker etzem lishvu boker chokukat the Pesach yasu oto. Whatever is true of Pesach Rishon is true of Pesach Sheni. So the balance between these two psukim is to say that a man is chayav outright, and a woman is not chayav outright, but she can join as part of the chabura. She has this ability to do it be tfeilot le chaburat anashim, but not to do it alone. Rabbi Yossi, my time. What's the reason behind Rabbi Yossi, who says a woman is chayavet both in Pesach Rishon and in Pesach Sheni? Tichtiv Rishon, like Rabbi Yudi, says in Pesach Rishon, it says mechsat nefashot vafilu isha. Uses the generic term nefashot, so that means both men and women. Tichtiv Pesach Sheni says there v'nechvata nefashayi miYisrael. The truth is that that pasuk does not exist by Pesach Sheni. So even though v'nechvata nefashayi me'ama is referencing back to Pesach Rishon, as we already noted before in the pasuk, v'yish asher u'tahor v'derech lo hayav chadal lasot haPesach v'nechvata nefashayi me'ama, that's referencing to Pesach Rishon. Nevertheless, the latter part of the pasuk, as we noted before, is speaking about Pesach Sheni. Ki kurban Hashem lo yikrei b'mo'ado chet o isai ishahu. And the Gemara later on will make a gezeira shava between chet o isa and, because it says, v'al b'nei Yisrael tedaber le'emor in Parshat Emor. At the end of Parshat Emor, with the Mekalel, it says, v'al b'nei Yisrael tedaber le'emor ish ish ki kalel elokav v'nasa chet o. Anybody who curses chas v'shalom is b'varechet Hashem. Nasach Heto will carry his chait, and that's parallel to the Nisiat chait that we find here in Parshat Balotcha, where it says, Ki korban Hashem lo yikrei b'mo'ado chet o isa. And then if you look in Parshat Shlach, with regards to what the punishment of Mikalel Hashem is, over there it says, V'nefesh asher ta'aseh b'yad ramah min ezrach min agerat Hashem hu migadef, v'nechrata nefesh ayi mikarev amah. So from that cheto isa ishahu that's found at the end of the pasuk in the Pesach Sheni, we have a draw gezer shava to megadef that's found in Parshat Emor, and the punishment of the megadef is found in Parshat Shlach, and there it says v'nechrata nefeshayi miYisrael, and so therefore we have a chiyuv karet that's also associated with the Pesach Sheni, but you also have the word nefesh that is associated with Pesach Sheni. Nefesh is again a generic term, and afilu nashim. And that's why Rabbi Yossi believes that even in Pesach Sheni, women are chayavot, even though here it says ish, nevertheless, because it says, or the connection to the Megadef, where it says nefesh, there it includes women as well. Velo chato isa ishahu, the mutemai. Then what does he do with the ish over here? It still says ish in Parshat Balotcha by Pesach Sheni. So Rabbi Yudah used that to exclude women. What does Rabbi Yossi use it to exclude? The mute katan mi karet. To tell you that a katan is not chayav karet. Tozo had asked the obvious question over here, which is, Teima, ma'it strich te'echar matzinu shechayav katan b'mitzvot. Since when are katanim chayavim b'mitzvot, that you have to have a specific pasuk tell you that they're not chayav karet, but they don't do the korban ha-pesach. Yishlamai, ditzrich le-katan shigdil ben shnei pesachim. It's a case where he became a gadol between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So you would think then he's obligated in Pesach Sheni and he'd be chayav karet. Each comes to tell you that only a man that was a man during Pesach Rishon was obligated in Pesach Sheni. Someone who became a man, bar mitzvah, in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, he does not participate in Pesach Sheni, because Kamash Balan, the Sheni Tashlumim Derishonu, that Sheni is a makeup for the first Pesach, and therefore, if you're not qualified at the first Korban of Pesach, or you couldn't have brought it during the first Korban of Pesach, then you can't bring it in Pesach Sheni, and someone who becomes a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah in between would not be chayav in Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Shimon, and what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon who believes that women are not chayavot, not in Pesach Rishon and not in Pesach Sheni? Because K'tiv Rishon, Ish, the word Ish appears by Pesach Rishon, Ish in Isha lo. Men, yes, women, no. Now, the Gemara will ask later on, where does it say Ish by Pesach Rishon? That's the case that she's precluded from Pesach Rishon. Why is it that she is able to join a chaburah of anashim? So, Hanilei Michnat Nefashot, the Michsat Nefashot that's used by Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi to say women are Chayavot in Pesach Rishon, is used by Rabbi Shimon to tell you L'Tfeila, to tell you that they can join a Chabura of Anashim. V'chitem Afilu Sheni Nami. If you want to say that it also applies to Pesach Sheni as well, that they can be a part of a Chabura in Pesach Sheni, they're Miyet Rachmana B'Sheni. Dichtiv, in Pesach Sheni, they're excluded again because it says Cheto Isai Ish Hahu. And the ish again is coming to say ish in isha lo. What is that ish in Pesach Sheni coming to exclude? Imi chiyuv, if to tell you that she's not obligated, hashtab rishon lo, She's not obligated in Pesach Rishon, b'sheni mibayi. You have to ask, tell me by Pesach Sheni that she's not obligated. Of course she's not obligated. In lav mitfeila. Come tell you that not only is she not chayevet, but even the tfeila that she can join a chabura of anashim in Pesach Rishon, that doesn't even apply to Pesach Sheni. That is the shita of Rabbi Shimon, that women are reshut in Pesach Rishon, and they're precluded completely from Pesach Sheni. Now the Gemara asks, my ish to come at Rabbi Shimon. Where is this ish that Rabbi Shimon has in Pesach Rishon that tells him men yes, women no? Inema, if you want to say from the pasuk that's found in Parshat Bo that says, Dabru el kol adat b'nei Yisrael emor, basol ha-chodesh hazeh v'yichulem ish, sel levet avot, sel habayit. Maybe that's your source for it. But that's a problem because help me by the Rabbi Yitzchak. We need that for the drush of Rabbi Yitzchak. Damar, ish zocheh v'en katan zocheh. That a man who has a korban of Pesach, he can purchase a korban of Pesach, and he can join other parties on behalf of these other parties. He can bring them in to be a part of the chabura of the Pesach. Whereas a katan can buy his own korban Pesach, but he can't be mezakeh. He can't bring other parties along to join him on the korban of Pesach. The Tosafot is perplexed by this because he says, Tema, I don't understand this gemara here. Amai yitzrich kro. What do you need a pasuk to tell me that the katan can't act on behalf of other parties? V'akaymalan en shlichut the katan. Don't we have a principle that a katan can act as a shaliach? And muchach from the Gemara in the beginning of Baba Metzia, that zechiyah, the ability to be mezakeh, to benefit other parties, to act on their behalf, to be a proxy on their behalf, and do something for them is mitam shlichut, is because you are a shaliach. And if a katan can act as a shliach, certainly he can't be mezakeh other people, which functions under this rubric of shlichut. So Tosafot makes a suggestion. Maybe this is the source for the fact that a katan doesn't have shlichut. And this is the paradigm which establishes this fact that there is no shlichut for a katan, as we learn from here, because he can't do the schia over here, which works from shlichut. That's how we know that kol haTorah kula, a katan doesn't have shlichut. Nevertheless, Tosafot says, if you suggest that, I don't understand this gemara, because a katan, according to the gemara in Bava Metzia, can't even be zocha for himself. If he finds an aveda, he finds a lost object, and he picks it up, he's not zocha in that object. He doesn't make a kinyan in that object. Ela mipnei darkei shalom. We'll do it because we don't want people fighting or cheating or stealing away from a katan, but not because he has a zchia midoraita. If he can't be zocha for himself, min haTorah, how can he be mezakeh? How can he join other parties and do something for their benefit if he can't even do something for himself? So Tosafot over here makes a distinction, which he mentions numerous times in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, which is there's a difference between a katan acting alone, where if he acts alone, he can't make a kinyan, he can't pass on a kinyan, he can't interact with other parties and work on their behalf as a shliach. On the other hand, when you have what's called a dat acheret murevet bo, you have another party that's working with the katan, that person is a bardat, that person is not a minor, then they can affect the minor's ability to have a kinyan. That means if you give something to a katan, so even though a katan who finds an aveda can't make a kinyan for himself, if you grant a gift to a katan, then that katan can successfully make a kinyan in it because the person that's gifting it has a part and parcel of the dot that's needed here, and he can overcome the deficit of the katan to allow the katan to make a kinyan. So over here too, by the korban of Pesach, where someone is selling him a korban Pesach, that dat acheret can cause him to have the ability to acquire the korban of Pesach. So you would have thought, just like he can acquire the korban of Pesach, he can acquire it on behalf of others as well. That's what the pasuk comes to teach you, that there's no shlichut for a katan, or there's no zchiyah for a katan, and he can't join other parties to this korban of Pesach that he purchased for himself. So that brings us back to square one, which is, where does Rabbi Shimon find the word ish by Pesach Rishon that's available for this drasha? Because the ish that we're bringing from Pasuk Gimel, which says, V'yichulem ish selabot selabayit, that we already used for the drasha of Rabbi Yitzchak that we just mentioned. Elam ish lefiochlo. From the Pasuk of Michsat Nefeshot ish lefiochlo, tochosu alaseh. Ha, mid Rabbi Yossi savalak Rabbi Shimon. Since we know that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon, that we saw at the bottom of the previous Amud, that Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, and says that even a Yachid can bring a Korban of Pesach, and we said, what does he do with Lo Tuchal Echol Mechad V'Sharecha? Gemara said that he learns it like Rabbi Shimon, that it's coming to be Osere with a Korban Pesach and a Bamat Yachid, that you still is a Lav. So the fact that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon would seem to imply that Rabbi Shimon nami sava like Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Shimon also holds like Rabbi Yossi. If Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi, Vami Baile, then Rabbi Yossi already told us that the Shochtin and Pesach HaYachid. From that pasuk, is how we know, we accept the show, Ish Lefiach Lo Tachosu. That's how Rabbi Yossi knew that you shecht on a Yachid. So Rashi over here points out, then how do you know that that's the case? Just because Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon, he dashed the pasuk that way, how do you know that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi? Maybe Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and he believes that a yochid can't bring a korban a Pesach, and therefore he has this pasuk available to him. So Rashi explains over here, Dilos Hirle Kavate, if Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi, Mimai Dehai Bechad L'drosha Didei Ata. How does he know that that drosha comes from what he thinks? Hatfei Mashma Shapir K'Rabbi Yehuda. Makes more sense to go with the drosha of Rabbi Yehuda, Dein Shochatim Al Yachid. Rashi explains over here, and this is what we mentioned before, the question of the Gemara as to how does Rabbi Yossi know that the drosha Bechad Sharecha makes more sense for Rabbi Shimon's drosha than it does for Rabbi Yehuda's drosha. How do you know that it means come to make a laver b'mat yachid and not to tell you that a yachid can't bring a korban a Pesach? So the Gemara said because of the pasuk of ish lefi achlo tachosu. That's how Rabbi Yossi knew that. So that same issue applies to Rabbi Shimon as well. Rabbi Yehuda's explanation of the pasuk is more logical or an easier explanation. For Rabbi Shimon to reject or decline Rabbi Yehuda's explanation of the pasuk and give his explanation, which is much more difficult or far-fetched, he would have to be relying on Rabbi Yossi's pasuk of that ish, the fi achlo, comes to teach you that you can bring it as a yachin, and therefore that pasuk can't be darshan like Rabbi Yehuda. Because if he didn't think that way, then he would have to darshan the pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda, and not like Rabbi Yossi. And for that reason, the Gemara believes that if Rabbi Yossi is relying on Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon is also relying on Rabbi Yossi. There's a mutualism between them, because they need both drashot. In order for Rabbi Shimon's drash to be true, you need Rabbi Yossi's drash over here, ish the fi achlo, to tell you that an individual can bring a korban a Pesach. Because absent that, Rabbi Yehuda's explanation of the pasuk lo tuchal lechol a Pesach be'achad sharecha would be more logically able to explain it like Rabbi Yehuda, that it comes to preclude a yachid. Gemara says, Amar lecha, im kein yichtov rachmana lefi achlo, because it's written in the singular, because im yichsat nefeshot lefi achlo, that would have been enough to teach you that even an individual can bring a korban a Pesach. My ish, what's the addition of the word ish? That you can learn both things. Number one, that it's ish lefi achlo, an individual can bring a korban Pesach, and also ish v'lo isha, to teach you like Rabbi Shimon, that by Pesach Rishon, women are only reshut and not a chuvah. K'man az l'hadamar Rabbi Elazar, according to whom is this statement of Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, is following. Isha b'rishon chuvah, a woman on the first Pesach is obligatory, v'sheni reshut, and in the second Pesach sheni, it's optional, or she can join a chabura, she can't make a bring a korban Pesach on her own. V'duchat ha-shabbat. And it is able to override Shabbat. So now the Gemara deviates for a second, just try to understand what the statement of Rabbi Elazar is. Irishut, if it's optional, amai duchat ha-shabbat. Then why does it override Shabbat? Ela'ema, this is the way to read it. B'sheni rishut, in the Korban Pesach sheni, she is optional. B'rishon chova, in Korban Pesach rishon, she's an obligatory party. B'duchat ha-shabbat. And therefore it overrides Shabbat. Therefore, based on this, if women came to bring a korban by Pesach Rishon, it would be override Shabbat, and they could be participants in a korban Pesach that overrides Shabbat. On the other hand, by Pesach Sheni, if Pesach Sheni falls out on Shabbat, and it's going to override Shabbat, they would not be able to participate in such a korban Pesach, because they don't have the obligation. And since they don't have an obligation, they can't participate in a korban that's going to override Shabbat. Though it would seem, by Pesach Sheni, the women only could not bring the korban by themselves because it's a reshut for them, and therefore it would not be dochas Shabbat. But if they were part of a bigger chabura, and they were already mechalel Shabbat for the anashim, it would seem that the women could be included in that korban ha-Pesach. Interestingly, the Rambam claims that you can have a chabura of women bring Pesach Rishon and bring a Pesach Sheni by themselves, which implies that he paskins like Rabbi Yossi, that women are chayavot, both for Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Yet, when it comes to the issue of Shabbat, he says that you're not allowed to have a chabura of women alone bring the Korban Pesach Sheni on Shabbat, which sounds like the position of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mefarshei Rambam over there tried to reconcile between these two Piskei Halacha of the Rambam, one where he seems to hold like Rabbi Yossi and one where he seems to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Nodi Yehuda in the Tzalach, explains that the Rambam really paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. And he says the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that women are reshut in Pesach Sheni, that's only true when it falls out on Shabbat. That's when it's a reshut, and that's where they need to be tefillah l'acherim. But if it was just a regular Pesach, they could bring the korban by themselves because there's no clash between the Korban Pesach and some other din, and therefore they could bring a chabura themselves. It's an interesting explanation to try to resolve that contradiction in the Rambam. Come on, now that we've solved or explained Rabbi Elazar's statement, come on, who's this like? Rabbi Yehuda, like we saw earlier, the Rabbi Yehuda believes that women by Pesach Rishon are a chuva, by Pesach Sheni are a reshut. I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Enosim chabura shukula gerim. Can't make a chabura that is comprised of only converts. Shema yidaktuku bo, because maybe they'll be so careful, so meticulous about the Korban Pesach, we reveal that they psul. They'll be so machmir, and therefore they're going to bring it to a psul, as Rashi says over here, mishum she'enam b'nei Torah. Since they're not well steeped in the divrei Torah, yachmiru alav. They'll put all these chumrot, because they just want to be extra careful, the daktek. Yisalu al chinam. They'll make it a Korban Pesach psul for no reason, because they're afraid, because they don't know that lack of knowledge, but their want or desire to do the right thing will bring them to the point where they're machmir, they make it pasul, even though it's not pasul. Tosfot over here says, Tema, the Baile Meimar, the Gerim, Idaktim, Biyoter. From here it makes it sound like Gerim are more careful, meticulous about mitzvot. And this is very similar to what we saw in the Gemara in Chulin, that Kol mitzvah shekaziku ba kutim, harbei medaktim ba yoter miyisrael. Any mitzvah that a kuti take on, they do it even better than Klal Yisrael, because whenever they do a mitzvah, they do it to its fullest extent. But he says, in the Yerushalmi, there's a slightly different girsa, and that is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan bar Yitzchak b'shem Rabbi Yossi, eno sim chaburot shel gerim, shetoch shem mekulkalim, ein medaktekim v'yaviyo lidei psul. Just the opposite. Because they are problematic, and they don't know what they're doing, they're going to cause a problem for the Korban HaPesach, and they're going to bring it to dei psul. Not because they're machmir, not because they're meticulous, but because they don't know what they're doing. They are lacking the knowledge to deal with it, and therefore they're going to cause a problem. And we find a similar idea throughout Shas, that generally Gerim are not as careful with mitzvot as a Jews who were born Jews. And over here it seems to say the opposite, the Gerim didaktim yoter. This might be connected to the Gemara that says that Gerim are kashim l'Yisrael kesapachat, that the Gerim are problematic for Yisrael kesapachat. And over there, the Balei HaTosafot and other Rishonim bring different interpretations as to why it is that Gerim are problematic for Klal Yisrael. So most of them are negative, like this Tosafot over here. Most of those positions are negative, which suggests that the Gerim are influential over Jews who were born Jews, and therefore they're going to bring their culture and their former practices, and they're going to dilute the Jewish content and the Jewish practices, and therefore they're negative for Klal Yisrael because they bear a bad influence. Over there, there is a suggestion made by Avraham Ager that it might be just the opposite, which is that because Gerim are so meticulous with regards to performance of mitzvot, they're going to cast aspersions on Klal Yisrael that they don't do it as well as the Gerim. And that's why they're difficult for Klal Yisrael, because they cause a kitrug from Shamayim on Yisrael that look at these Gerim who do better job than you do. That might be the other view here, which our Gemara is saying that the Gerim are more medaktikim in mitzvot, yoter mi Yisrael. And therefore these two tzadim that Tosafot brings might be related to those two positions with regards to why Gerim are kisapachat, problematic for Klal Yisrael. Okay, now we're going to finish off the Gemara, the Bring a Bright, the Tan Rabbanan. Pesach, Umatzah, Umaror, these three items, Berishon, Chova, in Pesach, they're obligatory. Mikan, Be'elech, afterwards, Rishut, they are optional. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Banashim, Chova, by men, they are obligatory, Banashim, the Rishut, they are optional. Haikai, what is going on in this Bright, though? It seems to be that you're talking about Rishon being Pesach Rishon, but then you say Mikan Ve'elech, which means that it seems to be not Pesach Rishon, but the first day of Pesach versus the remainder of Pesach. So Ilema, so if you say that it's talking about the Pesach, Pesach Kol Shiva Mi'ika, since when do you have Korban Pesach all 7 days? So you can't say that when it says Berishon Chova, Pesach is a Chova on the first day, and after that it's not a Chova, it's not even a Chova on the first day, it's on the 14th that you bring the Korban Pesach, you eat it on the first day, after that there's no obligation. So it can't be that that on the first day is a Chova, and the remainder of days it's a Rishut, that's obvious because it doesn't apply to the other days. Ela Matzah Maror. It's referencing to Matzah Maror, which means that on the first day, Matzah Maror are an obligation, whereas in the remaining 6 days, they're not an obligation. Okay, that's a plausible explanation. But they aim a sefer. Then what do you do with Rabbi Shimon Omer? Banashim Chobab, Banashim Rishut. That only men are obligated in what it would be now, Matzah Maror, and women are only optional in Matzah Maror. Chay Leit Leit Rabbi Shimon. Does Rabbi Shimon not have Hadamar Rabbi Elazar, Nashim Chayavot, Bachilat Matzah, Dvar Torah? That women are obligated to eat Matzah Mina Torah, even though it's a mitzvah that says Shazman Grama, nevertheless they are obligated to eat it, and that's because Shnemar, Lo Tochal Olav Chametz, Shivat Yamim, Tochal Olav Matzot. in Parshat Re'eh, which we quoted at the beginning of the Gemara today, it says there, one may not eat chametz for 7 days. They must eat matzah. Kol she'eshno b'bal tuchal chametz. Anybody who's obligated in the restriction, the negative commandment of not eating chametz, yeshno mekum achol matzah, is obligated to also eat matzah. V'anei nashim, these women, ol v'yeshnam b'bal tuchal chametz, they're obligated in the lotaseh. That's the principle that's brought in the Mishnah in Kiddushin, that women are obligated in all negative precepts in the Torah, because it says, Ish o isha ki asu mikol chatot ha'adam, that comes to equate men and women to all negative commandments and say that they are equally obligated. So she's definitely obligated in the Bal Tochal Chametz, Yeshtam b'ku achol matzah. Therefore, the Hekesh in the Pasuk says, whoever is obligated not to eat chametz is obligated to eat matzah. Whatever obligation that exists for matzah is equally applicable to men and women. Ela Ema, this is what you have to say. Pesach matzah umaror birishon chova. When it comes to Pesach Rishon, Pesach, matzah, and maror are an obligation. Mikan ve'elech, reshut. From here to forward, they are a reshut. Meaning, Pesach's obvious. That's only on the first day. Matzah, maror, we'll learn later on in the Masechta, that matzah, maror are an obligation on the first day. After that, they are optional. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Pesach, now going back to Pesach, not matzah, maror, but nashim chova, by men is an obligation, but nashim reshut, by women it's optional. And this is Rabbi Shimon the Shitata that we saw before. The Rabbi Shimon believes even in Pesach Rishon, women are only a reshut optional. By Pesach Sheni, they're not chayavot at all. They can't participate at all. And that is Rabbi Shimon l'shitato. So the different parts of the Braita are speaking about different aspects. The first part of the Braita is speaking about matzah and maror, and the reshut that they're speaking about is the remaining 6 days of Pesach as opposed to the first day. Rabbi Shimon is addressing Pesach and not matzah and maror, and he's saying that by Pesach Rishon, men are obligated, women are not obligated, they are just optional with regards to Pesach Rishon. And we'll stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Aleph, Amud Bet.